from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The businessman, this is where businessman Bonte comes into play. The Warriors didn't make the NBA playoffs.
Okay.
They got knocked out in the playing game. So we talked about that until we're blue in the face. Clay this, Clay that, Draymond this, Draymond that. Steph, what he's going to want. Pachinski, Kuminga, trades. Paul George, Lowry, Markkanen. That was pretty damn exhausting. But boy, with the Giants scuffling and their inability to hit with runners in scoring position, the Warriors all season and the Niners all season, same summer. So the businessman in me is saying, you know what? Thank you, Brendan Ayuk, for the content. Now, am I exhausted as a fan? Sure. But I'm exhausted in this sense. I'm exhausted not so much about whether or not he's going to go to Pittsburgh or whether or not he deserves the money. It's how I've heard from a lot of Niner fans saying that he is simply replaceable. He's the fourth option in the offense. I'm saying, huh, fourth option in the offense. He may be the greatest fourth option in NFL history outside of Isaac Bruce with the greatest show on turf. That's what's been exhausting is the dilution of Brendan Ayuk's value to this football team. We just basically say, yeah, we could just find anybody to put him in Brendan Ayuk's spot. Are we sure about that? We want to go through that? That would be exhausting, knowing that the passing game is going to suffer without number 11. Now, you need all the parts whole. You need Kittle, you need Debo, you need McCaffrey, you need Trent Williams. We get it. We need all these guys because they're a top-heavy football team. But what's been exhausting is trying to hear people talk themselves into saying, yeah, just let Ayuk go. He's replaceable. And then we get Baldy on the show, and he breaks down film like everybody else. Now, he's not right about everything, but he says this about Brendan Ayuk.
You lose Brendan Ayuk, okay, you're going to put Danny Gray out there? Like, what are you putting out, Juwan Jennings? What are you putting out there? Nobody. There's nobody they're going to get that can run a route like Brendan Ayuk. There's probably nobody they're going to get that blocks like he does. They don't beat Detroit without that catch down the middle of the field. They simply don't make that comeback. That triggered the whole thing, that catch off the safety in that play. There's a reason why he's holding out. He thinks he's a pure number one, and he is. He's a real number one wide receiver. And they love to attack the middle of the field. That's their offense. That's where the ball wants to go. And if you're going to attack the middle of the field, you better have some fearless players. Not everybody is as fearless as Debo and Ayuk going across the middle.
So that's what we're facing
now.
Yeah,
but Bonte, like, just because a couple people online anonymously with avatar eggs are saying that quote-unquote replaceable,
it's not that.
Then what is
it? It's not that. I get a lot of people.
The majority of Niner fans are like, I really want the player.
I'll look at my text thread. I got two diehard Niner fans that I've been knowing for a long, long time. Umair and Sheldon Shumpter.
Okay.
I respect dearly. Sheldon Shumpter played college football. And I've been going back with Sheldon Shumpter. And he goes, man, I think he's replaceable. Let him go. Let him go. I should be paid. He balled out for us. I just don't think he's as good as he think he is.
Well, that's a lot of people said trade him.
No, but a lot of people have said that we can find other guys who do what IU does. It ain't just eggs on Twitter. I know who I talk to. Like, I know who I talk to in my everyday life. There's a lot of people I talk to saying that he is replaceable, Shasky. I've heard a lot of it from Niner fans.
I don't think anyone's like, Trent Taylor can replace Brandon Ayuk.
Nobody's
like,
saying that, but no, they're but saying
I,
that
I think the question is this. It's very simple. It's like, he's really good, but we're tired of hearing him talk about an extra million and the team balk over an extra million here and there if that's what it ends up ultimately being. We're exhausted with that. And so I do believe the majority of people are like, if it's going to be this big of a hassle, like, you're a really good player, you're not that great. And I think that's where people come down. Like, you're really good. I think it's really difficult to find your replacement. But if you're going to be all of this and all this, like, 35 things in an offseason, like, my goodness.
It's not just him, though.
I've tapped out.
It's not just him. It's the 49ers organization for Miss playing their hand.
Oh, it's both.
You should have traded him at the draft. You should have traded him.
Well, you don't get rid of good players if you don't have to.
Yeah, but you should. If you're going to try to get rid of him now and, not, and thinking that you're going to get a premium player back, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. Not you, but I'm saying the 49ers.
But we don't know what the sticking point is. Like, again, so like this is it where the like whole misnomer is. Like, is he demanding 28.5 guaranteed in year one?
And, TJ Husman-Zada saying he's on 28 and they won't budge off of 26. We can't meet in the middle? That's what we're saying.
Well, I guess what where fans are left is they're like, well, wait a minute. Like, Cleveland's a winning team, and they're offering you apparently $28 million. Is it really just all about the end dollar? Because you're not going to make that
probably,
here.
It's probably about living in Cleveland. A little bit of that. It's like,
you also get to play with Kyle Shanahan, and you get to play with Brock Purdy, and you get to play with CMC and Debo. Like, it goes both ways. I don't think it's a take it or leave it.
But what I'm saying is, most of the... So I threw up a poll the other day. Who's to blame for this situation? Is it Brandon Ayuk? Is it the 49ers front office? Or is it both parties? And 52% said it was both parties. 24%
I agree with that.
Said both the front office and Ayuk. So they were split down the middle with that. So... Look, I'm just exhausted. I want to get the damn deal done, and I want IU to go out there and ball out because he is very important to this
Absolutely.
Offense. And all I'm saying is, in my life, it's not Twitter, because I when it comes to Twitter, who cares? There's a lot of idiots on Twitter. There's idiots all the time. All right? There's idiots every day that tweets at me about God knows what, and they want to be disrespectful. That's my Twitter timeline, so I don't really give a damn about Twitter. I'm talking about my everyday life. When I talk to most 49er fans, my 49er fans who are diehard fans just like you, Shasky, he can go bye-bye. We don't need him. He's a byproduct of having all pros on the team. And I'm like, damn, like that? We finally get a receiver to pop in the first round, and it's bye-bye, he can go.
Well, if you're going to be this big of a headache, it's not like Kinlaw. Like, Kinlaw was replaceable. Like, you know what I mean? Solomon Thomas was replaceable. Clearly, Trey Lance was replaceable, right? Brandon Ayuk is not quote-unquote replaceable by any player, but it's... You're not as good as you think you are, dude. Like, you're really good, but you're not that good. Like,
second team all pro good.
For 1 year.
Well, back to back 1,000-yard receivers. He had a 1,000-yard season with three different quarterbacks, and we're just going to scoff that around.
We're not scoffing at it. To get paid $30 million a year or $28 million a year, those guys have 3-4 seasons that are elite. Not just one. Not 2 good years in a row. 3 or 4 in a row.
The fact that he produced a second team all-pro season on a team that was last in pass attempts.
It's great.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah, but then
I think we're overlooking that.
No one's overlooking that. That's why he's getting offered $26 million. If he was getting offered $19 million, then I'd say, yeah, they're really overlooking him.
Tim Kawakami just reported 14 minutes ago. The IU side and the 49er side, from everything I've heard lately, remain unhappy with the way each has approached this. Still could come to an agreement, but it is unlikely to be all hugs and buddy-buddy. Now, this is after Diana Russini from The Athletic said, could the Niners and Steelers bring in a third team to facilitate a Brandon IU trade? Diana Russini doesn't rule it out. So there could be a three-team trade that happens.
How many three-team trades in the NFL... in the last 5 or 10 years, I can't even think of one.
You got to Google it.
Can you? Like, off the top of your head, I can't think of one.
Who would that third team be?
The Raiders? Devontae? Now, if I told you you were getting Devontae.
No, of course, I'd be jacked up about it. I mean, it's Devontae Adams. I'd be jacked up with Amari Cooper.
Given the package, the total package, if it's a second rounder, Cooper. I wouldn't be jacked up. I'd just be jacked up.
I got a player, and the situation's over. And I got Amari Cooper, but who's very comparable.
I still got to see, does Coop want more money? You know, is Coop, can Coop learn the playbook on time? Like that. Sometimes things don't work out as well as we think they're going to.
Well, I mean.
On paper, it looks good.
I'd rather have Amari Cooper than no player at all. Going into the season with Pearsall and Jennings
and Conley at the X is a problem.
So get this guy into camp. Get the damn deal done, and let's make this happen. We're quibbling over $2 million here.
That's what it feels like.
Now it's you can stretch this out. And I've said this from last year when everybody was talking about
time for the legal.
You can't have Debo Wade on. You could have moved both of them. I'm like, you can construct and structure the deal in the way where it doesn't hit the cap right away. You can do that.
Who's this third team helping the Niners?
I don't know. Listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMG, FM, and HG1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming up on the other side, we'll play some Brandon Payne sound from yesterday. Steph Curry's personal trainer, founder and CEO of Accelerate Basketball. We will come up with our top five Curry shots in our lifetime. Who's your top five, Shasky? Who's my top five? We'll do that on the other side as we take a page and take a break from the Brandon Ayuk shenanigans. That's all coming up. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Number five.
Hey, check this out. This is San Leandro Mo, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shaq.
What up, San Leandro Mo? What up, everybody? Roasters out there. Good morning, good morning, good morning here on a Tuesday. Giants and Braves later today, game two of that set. They lose 1-0 last night to the Atlanta Braves. An extra Blake Snell's been dynamic. Last seven games, 0.99 ERA, 0.62 whip. What do you do with Snell after the offseason? Well, you hope that he opts in. Probably not going to happen. And you hope that you have a chance to re-sign him. And we'll see if he does hit the open market today. A huge start for Kyle Harrison. Probably the biggest start of his young career. He'll oppose Charlie Morton, who hasn't been dynamic this season. 4.47 ERA, 1.31 whip. You can get to Charlie Morton. You could hit him as he's getting up there in age. But Kyle Harrison, a huge start against the Atlanta Braves. Game two of that four-game series tonight, 6:45 first pitch at Oracle Park. By the way, the Braves are the favorite on the money line here. -120 on the money line. So, don't like that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You see all those former Giants playing last night for them?
Who Jorge Soler.
Travis Dennard was a Giant for like a minute. Yep. And then, obviously.
Travis Darnell?
Yeah,
Travis
whatever Darnell. The heck his name is.
Travis, what did I say? You said Dennard. Yeah, Travis Darnell.
I was going to let that just slide.
I don't remember him as a Giant at all. I believe he was a Giant.
Was he not, was Sam?
I thought he was a Met.
I thought he was a Giant for 5 seconds.
He may have been a Giant for 5 seconds. You would know more than me.
I could have sworn he was.
I didn't know.
Farhan cycled so many guys, so it's possible.
I see on via Wikipedia, because as we know, Wikipedia is the end-all be-all. Mets for 6 years, Dodgers for a year, Tampa Bay for a season. Like, no he was on 2019 was on three different teams, it looks like.
I thought he was a Giant.
He was a Brave.
He's been awesome for Atlanta.
Yeah,
like they don't even miss like Sean Murphy if he's not playing well because they have Travis Darnell.
He had the big pop fly last night, sack fly to bring.
Yeah, he played one game with the Dodgers in 2019.
18, 19 wasn't with the Giants?
What are you going to talk about, Luke Jackson?
Well, Luke Jackson, I wanted to come into that game last night.
No, he needed a rest day after.
And then
Sunday.
Who's the other guy that was the other outfielder? Come on. It's not Brett Pill. What's the guy who used to play for the Marlins? Reds?
Not Whit Merrifield. Not Marcell Ozuna.
No, last night in their lineup.
Not Ramon Laureano, who's in Oakland A. Adam Duvall.
Adam Duvall.
Maybe trade Adam Duvall for Mike Leake, right? Is that the deal?
Yep.
Mike Leake. I'll never forget that. And then Mike Leake.
he leaked.
He leaked. And he blew his hamstring out on the start against the Texas Rangers. Remember that? I remember those days.
I would have done
good
that
old days
too,
with Marty
though.
Lurie. That's what we're talking about. Ty Block and. Who was the other guy? Ty Block, the guy we just heard about last week. We laughed.
Was that Heston and Stratton?
Chris Stratton. Heard a lot about him.
Andrew Susak.
Andrew Susak, yeah. Marty Lurie.
Legendary Andrew Susak.
I did a lot of shows.
Stop it.
A lot of those hours.
Travis Darnell, yeah, he's never a Giant. I was like, huh? I was lost. I was like, what?
Well, I'm thinking of Chase Denard. There you go. That's who people were saying. I got him confused.
I remember him.
That's that. All right, those are two easy ones get mixed up.
Right? There. They are, just by the way that they're pronounced.
Denard, yep. Yeah, Darnell. I'll give you that one.
We're going to do our top five Curry shots in just a second here. But by the way, join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament, benefiting the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 95.7thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ACCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. Now, Steph Curry just did some amazing things in the last two games of the Olympics against Serbia and France in the gold medal game. And we had Brandon Payne on yesterday, his personal trainer, founder and CEO of Accelerate Basketball. And Steph Curry was interviewed by Mike Tirico right after the game. Mike Tirico. And Brandon told us right after he got off with Mike Tirico, his phone started ringing. And it was Stephen Curry. He wanted to share that moment with his personal trainer, Brandon Payne, which was really cool. Think about that. You're at home, chilling with your sons who are about to go to high school. And Brandon Payne's sons, they could shoot the ball. I don't know if you've seen them. No. They could shoot the hell out of the basketball. They're heading into high school. There's some shooters. Believe that. And he gets a call from Steph right after the Olympics. So, you know, we asked him. It's hard to put a ranking on it, but where do you put this Olympic shot? Because a lot of people are saying this is the greatest shot of Steph Curry's career. Well, where does Brandon Payne put this shot? Here's what he had to say about that.
It's at the top. And again, you know, it's kind of like picking a favorite child. Like, you don't you can't, there isn't really one. He's done so many things that I don't think we all fully appreciate yet, but we will. I think that will go right up in that. There's a collection of them. There's a highlight film we can make of all of his greatest accomplishments, the greatest shots, the things that he's done well throughout his career. And those two, the semifinals game and the championship game, those will certainly be, those memories will be in with all the other ones right at the top. You know, to me, I don't get too much into ranking them because they're all equally important to me. But yes, absolutely, they're right there at the top. And it was something that was important to him. It's something that he wanted badly. And I don't think that he ever really verbalized how badly he wanted to be a part of it and how much he wanted to win it. But you saw it in his actions. You saw it in how he went about his business. And you saw it in the emotion that came out after the game was over. And I think that it's something that was just, you know, really, really important to him in his career.
So that was pretty cool. And his shot, it's been discussed as some of the great. Hey, what does Greedy say? He said it was the greatest shot in basketball history.
I don't know about that. I mean, the Brian Russell shot, Byron Russell, whatever you want. I don't even know. How do you even pronounce it? Do we even know?
Have Byron
we even
Russell.
Is it Byron or Brian?
Yeah, Byron.
I've seen it, anyway, pronounced so many different ways. That's going to go up there, right? The Jordan one on Craig Elo that everyone shows, that one's going to be up there. There's a lot of great shots. I don't know. That's up to every individual to kind of come to.
Right.
When we talk about Steph's greatest shots, though, I do believe that you can categorize them like importance for the team and his legacy. And then just ones that stick out in terms of how absurd they were in real time and how looking back on it, it was like, my God, how did the world not see where this was going?
Yeah. Yeah. So we came up with our five, I guess we could say favorite shots, best shots in our opinions.
Do you remember Vine?
Vine, oh yeah, the Vine.
Yeah,
the
so
Vine
to era. Me, I look at most vineable, right? What are ones that, like, vineable. To me, that, like, if you were to put them on social media, would they get the most traction on? And these are the ones that I picked. I didn't go with the ones that meant the most to the team or maybe meant the most to his legacy.
Mine was a little different.
I went,
you already saw it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's not fair.
Well, I didn't want to overlap them.
Oh, well, no. That's the cool part. I didn't see your list. I have no idea where you're
going. Well, that's why mine is going to be better than yours.
Oh, man. Wow. So you cheated. You saw my list and tried to one-up me.
Adam, it's too much for
Bob. Being a little more nuanced for the audience, Bonte.
That's
that way
what
we
is.
Don't fire the exact same moments.
I doubt we would have came up with the five.
I bet we both would have had Mike Breen.
No doubt. But I switched my list like five times last night.
Yeah.
I waited until this morning. Oh, wow. Oh. You know.
I don't know. Maybe I'm too worried.
This guy. You're unbelievable.
Number five.
You're unbelievable because you know where I'm going to go here. So I go, I texted Threat yesterday, greatest shots in Curry's career, I've got my 10 tomorrow. And then we've decided to pair him down to 5. And Shaq goes, instead of us having overlapping shots, send over your 10 to Lubman so we can make sure to have him ready to go as opposed to tomorrow morning. So Shaq's like, we got to get ahead of it. Get him out there now. And then you waited till this morning to cheat off my list.
Because you didn't send him to the Thread.
No, I sent him to Lubman individually because I didn't want you to send him.
I came in this morning, I got here early, and I said, hey, Lubby Love, what did Bonte pick? So here's my number 5.
No, that's not fair. That's go ahead.
Number 5.
Chance to tie it here for Golden State. Curry's got it. And Curry will let it go. The 3 comes up short. Offensive rebound. Curry again. And Curry hits a 3! Tie game!
I'm saying that's a great offensive rebound by Maurice Bates once he caught the basketball. It's amazing.
The Curry three-point shot in New Orleans versus the Pelicans. Brian Anderson, TNT, absolutely incredible. To me, the still shots of the entire fans, all like, oh my God! It was incredible. They ended up going on, I believe, sweeping the Pelicans that year. But that was the closest of those games.
Were they down 20 or 25 in that game?
I don't remember the specifics.
True story. I was cutting sound for that game for the Warriors Radio Network. R.C. Davis, shout out to R. Sizzle. I remember that game, I was, like, cutting just everything.
Uh-huh.
I ended up cutting with, like, 60 different cuts in
that game. Times have changed. We don't do that many cuts.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have manpower. But I had 60 cuts in that game. And everybody, the time I was finished cutting, I was like, what happened? The Warriors win? I was just, like, cutting. You just get in the zone anyway. Warriors did sweep that series down. And that was played at Smoothie King Center.
Smoothie King Center.
Yeah, there you go. Got to get that in.
Was that the best of Anthony Davis? No, I guess they won a sweep the following year of Portland. I don't know. But that was Anthony Davis in New Orleans back when. Let's go to number 4.
Number 4.
And this one holds a special place in my heart because I remember being watching this and going, wait. He did what? Already? He's done this? Because I hold this other guy in such high regard. So
as Curry puts up a 3, knocks it down. Stephen Curry makes it a 17-point lead. Stephen Curry now an NBA record for most threes in a single postseason. Just passed Reggie Miller, and he did it in 9 less games.
I remember in 2015 going, wait a minute. He just passed Reggie Miller for most threes in one playoff, which he's obliterated 5 times over since then. And it's going to get lost in the sauce, and nobody's going to remember it. But I remember it stopping me in my tracks saying, you got to be kidding me. Reggie Miller getting passed already? Because Reggie was the gold standard of shooting from our generation.
He was. It is impressive. And the volume of threes that Curry started shooting, and it became acceptable to the point where I'm thinking, just take 15 threes a game, Steph. Hey, who cares? Just take 15 threes a game. Why not?
which now gets me to my number 3, which I believe...
Number 3.
I forgot about this play, and 10 years later, it hits even harder, given he was on France, and he's just such a hateable character. The whole world hates this guy. But they're in the green Jazz jerseys. Steph Curry puts Gobert in a blender.
This is game 1, Western Conference semifinals. As Curry does his magic, gets by Gobert and scores. We've got Curry flared. Oh my. Rudy was outside of his comfort level right before he had Steph Curry. Oh, Steve Smith, take note. Top 5 plays under the rim candidate right here. Gobert, they're asking him to get out. And Steph Curry, with all kind of spice, goes by him for the reverse. Which way did he go?
In the words of Guru, he did that. And he had it on a yo-yo, and he was going back and forth like he was going to shoot a 3 on Gobert. Gobert must have spun around 3 or 4 times. I mean, pirouetting. And then he finishes in the lane with the up and under, finishing on the reverse side of the rim. I mean, it was just an incredible play by Curry.
By the way, some breaking news. J.J. McCarthy with that meniscus issue in his knee. Meniscus issue. Oh, no. Sounds like Sam Darnold's going to get the start in Minnesota. And the Niners could be seeing Sam Darnold in week 2 up in Minnesota. So that play at Oracle... I mean, that arena was hopping. I mean, it was already like...
You remember that?
Oh, I was for all those playoff games. I was fortunate enough to be in the building for a lot of those. And it was just like being at the playground.
Exactly.
And the crowd's like, oh. And he looks just like, and you're looking at Gobert and he's trotting back down the court like, oh my gosh, I got cooked. And you look at Donovan Mitchell, they're like, oh boy, we're about to get blitzed. I mean, the arena, you heard him play it one more time. Play the highlight
it's
one more
so
time.
Good.
No, it just,
Steve
crowd
Smith's
got so
laughing
loud.
At him.
The crowd got so loud. Oh, we don't have it? Oh, I was going to say, play the Utah Jazz highlight one more time. That Gobert play.
This is game one, Western Conference semifinals. As Curry does his magic, gets by Gobert and scores. We've got Curry flair. Oh, my. Rudy was outside of his comfort level right before he had Steph Curry. Oh, Steve Smith, take note. Top five plays under the rim candidate right here. Gobert, they're asking him to get out. And Steph Curry, with all kind of spice, goes by him for the reverse.
Which way did he go?
And, you know, for me, the reason why I put that in there, everybody talks about the three-point shot, and there's no doubt he's the absolute innovator when it comes to the three. But the threat of the three, allowing him to finish in the lane, where I believe to be his most underrated skill, which is finishing around the rim, which he's gotten better and better and better at, that's why I had to have that one on this list. I thought that was an absolute perfect encapsulation of what the threat of the three-point shot can do.
Let me guess, one of your two then. I'm surprised the layup over LeBron James in the NBA Finals isn't on this list.
We avoided LeBron in this one.
Why? How come?
We don't want to alienate the king. We want to inspire the king to come here.
They're great teammates right now.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You see the Instagram gif where, you know, you got the cars going in opposite directions and this Warrior Laker fan's like, all right, here's how we split up. And cars
like
going in different roads now.
It's like the end of the Batman movie when Catwoman takes off, you know?
Yeah, there it is.
Number two, the caption was real quick, when the Lakers and Warriors get back to reality and they're playing for a 10 seed next year.
Can't wait.
And they look at each other and split off.
I can't wait. Trade us all your team. We'll give you all our broken points. Alright, number two. This one is one of the more iconic Steph Curry moments, and the fact that he did it against the guy he idolized, this didn't mean anything, but it signified a changing of the guard. And when Chris Paul had to get cleaned up off the floor by the janitor, you knew this one was going to go viral.
Curry in on shakes Paul out of his boots and hits a fallaway jump shot.
You want to see a dribble move? Watch this one. Double behind your back, knock it down, and the bench is loving it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming at Chris Paul, takes it out under the basket and suddenly goes two times behind his back to leave Paul on the ground and then finishes it off. One, two, Paul goes down, Curry knocks down the jump shot. This guy is something special.
Is that Mike Fratello?
It sounds like it.
On the Clippers broadcast, OG Mike Fratello. I love Mike. Oh, that was a change in the guard.
Right?
That was the night where Curry was like, I'm not afraid of you no more. This is my league. I'm the best point guard in the NBA.
And I think that, you know, for most Warrior fans, it was us and the Clippers for so long. Yep. And it was like, finally, we've got our guy. And it was just amazing. But here's number one. And to me, it's not even Steph and what Steph did. It's the way a young Steve Kerr in a suit, by the way, bring the suits back. It's the young Steve Kerr in a suit.
Let him quarter zips.
Young Steve Kerr throwing his hands up. This is one of the most iconic moments, and it's when he just realized, like, you know what? There is no bad shot for Steph Curry. And I'd be like, Warrior fans all across the world were like, you know, Steve, yeah, we kind of agree with you. And it's Steph Curry's amazing shot that had Steve Kerr looking amazed. Spadoni, play it for me.
Curry splits the defense behind the back. Fires a three. Oh, he pucks it in. What a spectacular move. And it's the largest lead of the game. That could be the greatest move I've ever seen. No, I'm being serious.
Watch his head coach, though. We're going to show the reaction of Steve Kerr as this play was developing. And one of the reasons why Curry is one of the special players.
Steve Kerr's throwing his hands up. It's the no. Yeah. You know what? You can't take a bad shot. And with Van Gundy saying that might be the greatest play I've ever seen. No, I'm dead serious.
I was going through the whole game, like, of the highlights to get this. Funniest thing, it was like 2 minutes prior to it. They're just talking about a shot, and Steph's like going on this. He's been on this huge run. He's been great.
Yeah, the heater.
And he's like, you know what? That's a top 10 kind of a player. Like, moment. Like, Van Gundy's just raving. He's like, a top 10 player. And then Mark's like, well, Jackson. Yeah, he's not going to be a top 10 player. And then Van Gundy's like, you sure? Like, I was like, what?
Play Van Gundy one more time. He's dead serious.
Unbelievable.
Curry splits the defense behind the back. Fires a three. Oh, he puts it in. What a spectacular move. And it's the largest lead of the game. That could be the greatest move I've ever seen.
I mean, it's just so flippantly, and like, to me, it's not like, I know there's bigger shots and stuff and moments, but to me, like, when I close my eyes, Steve Kerr going like, I can't believe, well, I guess he can shoot from anywhere.
Right.
Like, wasn't that all of Dub Nation at one point early on with Steph Curry?
No
and
doubt.
That's why my list is a little different than maybe others. It doesn't have the resume significance. It was more the viral moments for me.
All right, my top five, Krzyzewski cheated. He already knows what it is, so the commentary
Number 5.
Is going to be very short for Krzyzewski. Kind of ruined the exercise, but it's okay.
I think I enhanced it.
Top five. My top five. It has to do with importance, favorites, my feeling after the fact.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
How
did it make you feel? Well, 2016, a late February day out in Oklahoma City, February 27th. Come on, this is so famous that Mike Breen got his shoe and the call inside the box. Mike Breen, take it away.
The drive falling away, won't go. Rebound taken by Iguodala. They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry with 0.6 seconds remaining.
On his way to hitting 402 threes, an NBA record in the regular season. On his way to winning the first ever unanimous MVP award that season. The Warriors on their way to 73-9. And we know how the season ended. But that moment in Oklahoma City on a Saturday night prime time, in a game in which he twisted his ankle and was out for a while, Klay Thompson had to pick up the slack. Draymond Green had one of the craziest stat lines ever after almost getting to a fight with Steve Kerr at halftime, where Lisa Saltzman was like, something happened in the locker room. Draymond said, you want to turn me into a robot? Then fine. I'm a robot then. It was an iconic game, and it was a precursor of what was to come in the Western Conference Finals between the Golden State Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's number five, the double bang shot.
It might be number one on a lot of people's lists.
It might be number one.
I mean, when I think of, like, he's the loaded gun coming across half court, and you have to guard him the entire, like, that's the moment.
They do have a timeout left.
Regular season shots, like, you don't really think about them.
That's probably as
sick as it gets.
And you talk about still photos. People in Oklahoma City are like,
I totally agree.
Oh, no. Oh, God. What's happening here? So that was not number five.
That's such a good one.
Number four. The Moda Center, Portland, Oregon, Game 4, second round. Dame Dollar and company, I think, got off to a 16-2 start in this basketball game.
Curry comes off the bench, and he starts like 0 for 8 or something. He was just awful. And I'm thinking to myself, it was awful to start. Awful to start. And I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, they're going to get bounced by the Portland Trailblazers. Well, did not happen because Curry had the single greatest overtime in postseason history. I'm back, folks. I'm back. I'm here. Curry drops 40 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, and the Warriors win it overtime going away.
Warriors can add to their lead now. Curry left wide open right between the eyes, and they love it on the bench. Timeout. Steph Curry, all 12 points in the overtime. He has 35.
Playoff record,
an iconic moment.
17 points in overtime. He was only expected to play 25 minutes in that basketball game. Well, the hell with that plan. You're Steph Curry. You feel all right. I mean, unbelievable. Again, 48-9 in that basketball game. The Warriors take a commanding 3-1 lead. And look, I'm looking at the recap right now. Portland was up 16-2 in this basketball game. 16-2. Curry was awesome. He was awful.
And do you have the roster for Portland in front of you?
Oh, yeah.
Was it Tariq?
Alfred Camino. Yeah. Mo Harkless.
Mo Harkless.
Dame Dollar.
Alan Crabb.
Plumlee. Alan Crabb came off the bench, played 38 minutes in that game.
Oh, my God.
Gerald Henderson.
What?
Yeah.
That's a name.
Yeah, that was the name. Ed Davis from North Carolina. Remember him, the big man? Yeah, and they got bounced in 4 games. That was it for Portland. The Warriors outscored them in overtime, 21-14. That's my number 4.
I love Steph Curry shot. That's a moment.
Oh, that was a moment. Moment number 3.
Number 3.
Now, they were down 2-1 to the Bill Street Bullies, the Grindhouse, the Memphis Grizzlies. I remember Draymond and Steph Curry had wine after game 3 after getting beat. And then Steve Kerr decided, hey, Andrew Bogut, I don't want you guarding Tony Allen. Leave him wide open. And they ended the Grindhouse Memphis Grizzlies with this shot at the end of the third quarter.
Green weaving, he's trying to get the shot up. No call that way. Curry swings it the other way. And he got it! What a turnaround! Curry the three!
You can't tell me Tirico is not a top 5 announcer.
Oh, he's
all time.
We got to get him back on the show.
I love him.
We got to get him back on the show.
I love him.
Tirico's unbelievable. Him and Hubie Brown on that call. And they even the series up at 2 games apiece. But that was the series. Curry with 33 points, 11-22. That full court heave at the end of the third quarter. Now, he ended up doing it again against Memphis in the regular season and next season.
Yes.
But that was in the playoffs. That's my number 3 shot. I think it gets forgotten about. Well, we kind of forget about that shot.
I would say that the Grizzly series during that run.
Yep.
Underrated, one of the hardest of the series that they ever played.
Yep. They had to get down to feisty. Remember they were being called finesse team? I remember early
in
that first
quarter. They were a jump-shooting team, Dante. That's what they were being labeled as.
Curry, I think he had like 2 scratches on his arm in that game, Steph Curry. Yes. He was getting down and dirty. They were getting feisty. They were getting physical. That was a fun shot right there. Draymond Green with 16 points, 10 rebounds in that game. Andrew Bogut not guarding Tony Allen whatsoever. Played him out of that series. Warriors go on to win that series in 6 games in the Grindhouse. They advanced to their first Western Conference final since 1975. And I remember Tim Roy, as I was running the game, I was Sterling Bennett during that game, running the game. And Tim Roy goes, Vontae, I think we're on the verge of having some special basketball. We are entering the golden era of the Golden State Warriors. And boy, was he right. 4 championships later.
He went from cutting sound of a Warrior game by himself in the spaceship to doing pre and post game.
That's pretty cool.
Incredible rise.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible rise. Let me pat myself on the back.
No, I'm doing it for you.
I wouldn't. Number 2.
Number 2.
2019. Now, it's probably not a number 2 on a lot of people's list, but I couldn't stand the damn Houston Rockets. They annoyed me so much. The crying. The complaining. I watched these guys at game 1 of the Western Conference Final semifinal in 2019 in a visiting locker room. It's Mike D'Antoni, Chris Paul, and James Harden. I can say it now because
I'm not a system player. I am a system.
I wouldn't say it when he was on the Warriors, but they're in the locker room. Looking at Twitter, I'm watching this with my own two eyes. They're looking at Twitter saying, yeah, that was a foul. That was a foul. And then they came out with an out of 10 that they were fouled 81 times and it wasn't called. So these clowns, I had to somehow, some way get them on the list. Here's Steph Curry into the Houston Rockets in 2019, having one of the greatest second halves in NBA postseason history. Hey, PJ Tucker, close your ears. You don't want to listen to this.
Curry with Tucker right with him. Curry launches a 3. Puts it in again. Steph Curry from downtown.
Mike Breed on the calls for all these. Mike Tirico, Mike Breed. You see the theme here. We've got to get Bobby Fitz on one of these calls. But he puts him in the blender, scores 33 to second half after going scoreless in the first half of game six against Houston.
The Human Torch hit that from Livermore. And Oracle rises as one.
Did you hear him yesterday on with Grandy and Dibbs? No. He would have called Curry's last shot against France. He would have said there would have been gold at the end of the rainbow. That's something.
Oh my God, that's pretty good. Fitz is unbelievable. Dude, I want him to
honestly. I live with these people. I love these people. They're part of my family.
He hit that shot from Nice. He would have dropped to Saint-Tropez. He would have dropped all that.
He hit that from Martinique.
That's now brilliant.
Now I may have recency bias. I had to change this list five different times. I was a stickler for the stuff. I was overthinking everything. Uh-huh. Thinking, boy, I can't find five shots. But you know what? The nation, the world, they now know how good Stephen Curry is. Because with the universe on the line,
number
the basketball
one.
Basketball universe on the line, Spadoni, Stephen Curry saved the day against France for a gold medal.
Durant, back to Curry, dancing on Batum, over the double team.
France in a frenzy. This crowd in France is in a frenzy. That's my number one. I'm probably going to change it in 6 months.
Yeah,
I'm probably
exactly.
going to change it in 3 months. But the fact that he went 17-27 in the last two games of the tournament against Serbia and France without Steph Curry, does Team USA even medal? Do they even get a bronze medal if they don't have Stephen Curry? 17-27 from three in the last two games. He saved his best for last. Anthony Edwards told him, thank God you showed up the last 3 days. We don't know where you were for all tournament, but you showed up the last 3 days, and thankfully, you helped bring home the gold medal. But those are just 10, and there's probably 35 more shots.
Aren't you glad we had two separate lists with no redundancy?
Yeah, but you cheated.
How? How is it cheating?
What play on my list would you have had? The double bang shot?
For sure. I mean, that's yeah. obvious. And I probably would have had the USA shot on there.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, that was an incredible shot. Yeah. That was incredible. You know, like that's amazing. Only he could pull that one off.
Only you could pull that off.
You know, or especially with multiple, you know, top 10 players wide open on that play.
LeBron and KD are doing this.
And we're all saying, don't pass it to LeBron.
And him saying he's just shooting it because he's tired, too. I was like, that's even more disrespectful. He's like, I'm just so tired. I'm just going to hoist it up. It's probably going to go in because I'm Stephen Curry.
I mean, the audacity to shoot that. No, LeBron didn't want the ball in the fourth. Like, we all know the ball got a little heavy for my boy. Ball got a little heavy. He didn't want to see that free throw line.
He's old man, Bonta.
He's old man. Once he got ducked on, LeBron started doing the whole
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't see that play.
Oh, delete the footage?
Yeah, I don't think that happened.
Oh, boy.
How does he get Bronny on Team USA for 2028?
Oh, my God.
There's a will, there's a way. Him in pods?
Hey, 2028, who's going to be on that team? So we got, I think Kevin Durant's going to play again.
Booker. We'll see with AD. If
I
his
bet
health.
You Steph will play.
Does Jason Tatum get into that rotation?
Yeah, Tatum. Brown, maybe. By then, who knows?
Tatum's only playing if someone's not coaching.
I don't think Steve Kerr's going to be coaching.
Derek might White. Not
be. Who knows?
Anthony Edwards.
Edwards.
Ja.
Yeah.
Ja Morant.
Oh, boy.
We'll see where he's at.
Cheddar Bob? I don't know.
You want Ja in L.A. for the Olympics? I don't know.
Oh, what's the worst that can happen?
That's later. The L.A. nightlife for Ja Morant.
Cooper Flagg
for sure.
Let's wait and see.
Chet Holmgren?
Yeah.
Chet, yeah.
Bam out of bio back on the team.
Paolo. Guys, whoever right, yeah. we think
Paolo.
Is
going to. Paolo Banchero. Yeah. Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, you know Paolo will be there.
Jalen Brown?
What about we'll Jalen Brunson?
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson's a good call.
Derek White?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know. He might be one and done.
Maybe Haliburton actually has a role this time around.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Maybe. We'll see.
You got to figure there's probably one or two kids in high school right now who just haven't really jumped onto the big stage yet, who probably be on there as well, right?
There's a lot of people.
I mean, who's the youngest?
It's 4 years from now.
The youngest guy on the team is in his fourth year, and Anthony Edwards, right? He's in his fourth year.
Yep.
So,
okay, yeah, maybe.
He's a phenom, right?
Well, so Anthony Davis was the last one that was right out of college.
Yep.
So then it happens.
He's also seven, whatever.
Well, I know, but there'll be someone coming around who's going to be like another.
It could be a 16-year-old out there who's, going to be ready by then.
Oh, De'Aaron Fox. What about De'Aaron
Fox? That's a good one, Spider.
The point guard position is so loaded.
It's loaded.
Like, would you rather have, like, right now, if you had to choose right now, De'Aaron or Jalen Brunson? Like, Jalen plays a very different, specific brand of basketball. Yeah. I don't know. I know the Knicks fans would be like, oh, Jalen.
Yeah, it's a good point.
You know, like, I don't know.
That's a good point.
Is Embiid going to be on it?
No.
Probably not. He's probably would have done it.
He saved himself there at the end. I'll give him that. He saved himself.
Can we talk about something? It's not the end-all, be-all. But I personally, and I'm not trying to be like the old-timer, kids, and I got... It's not the end of the world. I'm not losing sleep over it. You really had to do the DX thing to the crowd multiple times over multiple days.
I mean...
One time, spontaneous, all right, funny, I mean, cute. Like, come on, dude. Grow up. That's all. I'm not outraged. I'm not canceling him.
He warned the French people. You keep talking to me. I got something in store for you after I win gold. Oh, Jaren Jackson Jr., 6'5". Let me guess. That's from our boy Zach from Redwood City. Because Zach, I got back in the car. And Zach was on with Shiny Guru with the same call.
He double dipped?
He double dipped about Jaren Jackson
Jr. Did he have
Jr.
a 4-point presentation like he did for our call?
He didn't get flushed with Shiny Guru.
Hmm.
You know, they had the Marty Lurie system. Where
I must have missed this. I'm so upset I missed this call.
Yeah,
he called in. What did he do?
He called in and he went right at Bonte. I'll give you the work with my Indiana football team in college football.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we had that going on. And then RJ called and said, I'm pushing the panic button. RJ was really freaked out.
Here's the bigger question.
Bonte, you didn't know this, but I foresee the future.
I want to see LeBron coach the USA team. I want to see him do a Pete Rose player coach. First time since, what, Bill Russell back in the day? I want to see player coach LeBron James.
I got Guru banging on the glass back here, by the way, letting me know that he did not text you guys in the morning. He's banging on the producer studio to tell me he did not send a text.
I've heard that about six times in my career at 95.7 a game, but every time his number pops up. Happened with Joe Lowe Dibs. Happened with us on a morning roast. It's happened multiple times.
I mean, if he's getting his phone hacked this often, like, you need to go to the Apple store.
What's going on here? It's getting hacked and then texting in the 95.7 the game. Wow.
Maybe it was Mia.
Oh, no. That's not
Should we take this? You know what?
I'm a pirate fan. You got to have more hope than that.
Let's get to the, before we get to Fast Five, let's go to Art Girl. Tony in Oakland. Tony, what's happening?
Oh, boy. Right.
Shaskins will walk out with a bad move. Okay. Come on, Tony.
So, without Curry, they would have lost. But this is how we could help the rest of the team, because they don't have any fire. And I'd be hiring all those Serbians. So, do you see those girls before they're going to run, like, the 100 or whatever, and they're doing the sway, right, before they get ready to go? So, you got to get into that motion. Or if you want a good visual for you, Shasky, of what this stuff is about, did you see that high jumper, Hamish Kerr? Now, Kerr should be like this Kerr. This dude was like the Zen of archery. He would wait until he got that feel. It's like you could visually see him being penetrated by it. It's unbelievable. And then he would go. And the one time that I knew he shouldn't be running at that moment, he ran under the bar. But this dude is the most elite athlete out there, because he's like Bruce Lee, right? to have everything is, you know, when you're of the divine, right? To have all technique is to have no technique. So this Hamish Kerr, you guys got to watch that high jumper.
You got to watch that high jumper. Tony, what was your favorite event?
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I like all the events, but this Hamish Kerr is like the real deal. You can see him. He waits. That's why he beat that one of our guys in the jump off, or whatever they call it. Because the dude just got in, right?
Your favorite event was a high jump then.
It was the high jump, because this guy brought it. You could see him become it.
You know who brought it to?
Out there.
How about the 4x4 relay team, the women's relay team? How about the 4x1? How about the 4x4 men's relay team? We're not going to talk about the 4x100 men's relay team that doesn't know how to pass a baton or whatnot. But Tony, come on. Come on. You got to like all the events.
They're good, but Bonte, I'm talking about the elite of the elite. Someone that can feel it, and then they go. Most of these athletes, they get in and they're good. You know, they're great. They're the best in the world. But this dude, you could visually see him become it.
All right.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
I don't know where that one was going, but she liked the high jump. She loved the high jump. So
that's what you pulled from that?
Yeah, that's what I pulled from that. You gotta kind of go through the weeds, man. Get through the forest.
He ruined your zone.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta get in the zone. I was in the zone with Tony. I said, okay, she loves a high jump. I get it. She loves a high jump.
So if I was a left-handed batter, last night might have been, on both sides, one of the most uncomfortable evenings for left-handed batters ever. Blake Snell was just unbelievable. Chris Sale was unbelievable. And there were like 40 strikeouts in that game between the two teams. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I think it was 38.
Yeah, it's like a record, right?
It's incredible.
Let me pull up the Lovely gave us a stat sheet. I saw it all over Twitter last night. Here it is. It also marks the first time at Oracle Park that both starting pitchers had double-digit strikeout games since April 28th, 2010, when Lincecum and Cole Hamels struck out 11 each. 23 combined strikeouts by Sale and Snell, the most by two starting pitchers in Oracle Park history. Previous was 22 back on June 6, 2006, when Jason Schmidt had 16 against the Marlins.
Wow.
And Josh Johnson had 6. No, we're not Josh talking about Josh Johnson, the quarterback.
No, the
talking
other Josh the pitcher. Johnson, yeah, the burly boy.
Would sure shock me if he did play baseball there. So the most overall, the 33 combined strikeouts are the most in the game in the majors this season. So it was old school baseball last night.
Josh Johnson was with the Giants in 09?
I want to say he was with the Giants.
09?
Old Marlins pitcher. He won a World Series with the Marlins,
Josh,
right?
Josh Johnson. Yeah, absolutely.
Him and Josh Beckett. Beckett?
Yeah. You're thinking of Josh Beckett.
No.
Did Josh Johnson play with them?
The big Josh Johnson. The
Josh
big
Johnson was on the Marlins for a while, but
the Marlins won a World Series.
Yeah. No, I think he wasn't on the 03 team.
You sure?
I think you're thinking of Josh Beckett.
Josh Beckett was there.
Yeah, I'm talking like number 55.
He was 05. He wasn't on a team. Yeah, knowledge loved
it. Two-time All-Star, though. Good career. Yeah.
He was on the 05 Marlins. That's when he came up. So he wasn't on that 03
team.
So then
who was the heavy white guy that was on
that
the
09? That was Josh Johnson, though. You're talking about 6'7", 250.
Yeah, he was a big boy.
Big boy. Played his entire career, basically, with the Marlins, and then 1 year in Toronto.
So who was the hefty guy who was a big sweater in 09 for the Giants?
Tyler Walker?
No, he was a starter.
He was at Oracle Park.
He was a starter.
Brad Penny?
Brad Penny, the other Marlin.
No wonder I got him confused. Yep, Very similar physique.
Yep, Brad
Penny.
Final thoughts.
Brad Penny was
Loving
nice,
it in,
go check out my interview with Logan Webb on the latest episode of Garlic Fries and Baseball. Guys, episode 100. Thank you to everybody who's been listening to this podcast, getting us to 100 episodes. Shasky, thank you to you for doing this podcast with me. I very much enjoyed doing this pod with you. And shout out to Mark Willard. He was an OG Garlic Fry and Baseball guy. So, here's to 100 more episodes. And maybe we'll even talk about a playoff game at some point. The next 100.
There it is. Spadone, what you got?
I'm sorry that J.J. McCarthy was the latest casualty of what is going to be a top five defensive unit out in Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Raiders. And Antonio Pierce has got that crew ready to play. Crosby, Wilkins. The Raiders finally have a quarterback one, Bonte. Jack Jones is for real, man. He's so sick.
Jack Jones.
He's got so much swag.
I do
Logan
love Jack
Webb, very high on Antonio Pierce.
Antonio Pierce does like Jack Jones. He loves him.
He's known him since he's in high school.
Yeah, Long Beach Poly, Arizona State. He loves Jack Jones. My final thought, what the Giants better win tonight? Again, you better win tonight. The more you lose, the less and less we talk about you. Brandon Ayuk signed a contract. Niners, let's get it done. Come on. Let's go. All right, that was Fast Five. I didn't really have any final thoughts. Brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Steiny Guru next right here on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.